Good morning. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks and Commissioner Van Beek. And with that, we have a 10 o'clock agenda item, and it's meeting with the Idaho State Tax Commission regarding property value changes. So welcome, and we'll hand it over to you. Go ahead.
Chairman Holton, commissioners, just kind of catching you up to speed. This is Commissioner Paul Woods from the Idaho State Tax Commission. He's got some friends with him today. I'll let him introduce them. I am in charge of assessing properties here locally, so all locally assessed properties. The State Tax Commission is in their wheelhouse. They appraise operating property. And there's been a ruling recently, and Commissioner Woods agreed to come explain how things have, the history of, or the events of how this came down. And with that, I'm gonna turn it over to him.
Thank you, Brian. Mr. Chairman, commissioners, thanks for the opportunity to be here today.
You bet.
As Brian said, my name is Paul Woods. I'm one of the four commissioners on the Idaho State Tax Commission. My role is to oversee property tax, and in that role, we do several different things. We, you know, work with the assessors to make sure that they are, I guess, at market value. We do ratio studies, you know, every year on the different classes of properties, and oversee a process to make sure that they're adhering to the uniformity provision of the Constitution, that they're at market value. We also do budget and levy work to help you, you know, submit on forms every year how much property tax you're going to be collecting, and then we do a review of that every year and certify that those budget and levy amounts don't exceed any statutory limit. And then we work obviously with the treasurers and the clerks, and you know, getting the bills out and making sure the bills are representing the information they need to represent, and so forth and so on. So those are some of the things that we do. But as Brian mentioned, you know, one of the things we do is we put the assessed value on centrally assessed properties. Those are general utilities. So in this case, Idaho Power, the Intermountain Gas, railroads, you know, those are the things that we put the value on. And we convene every year in late August, just like you do in June and July, as a Board of Equalization, and give those entities the opportunity to appeal the value, the assessed value that we provided, you know, to the counties. And we make a decision just like you do. Once we make that decision, those taxpayers have the right to continue that appeal, you know, to district court. And so in this case, you know, that's what happened. And so this was a case that went through the court, the judiciary process was just resolved, and now we have a judgment. So I'm gonna give some history on that. With me today are two of our representatives from the Attorney General's office. We have Brett Jarvis and Matt Schreiber, and they're the lawyers here. And so if you have any legal questions as I get through the explanation, they can help back me up or correct me if I get off track. So so I think the first thing, the way to describe the history of this case is to start by describing what it wasn't about. As I said, you know, usually taxpayers come and they, you know, will question the value that's been attributed to the property that they own, and they look at that valuation process, right? And in this case, for rate-regulated electric utilities in statute, you know, there's specific provisions about, you know, how much weight we can put on the cost approach. You know, when we do the income approach, you know, there's a whole statutory framework that really was the product of another lawsuit that happened back in 2014. And so all this is laid out. And so, you know, for rate-regulated electric utilities, a lot of times, you know, a lot of the weight is put on the income method, and a lot of the discussion is around the capitalization rate, right? And not the debt part, but the equity part, and, you know, where do we come up with that? And so every year we have a cap rate conference, and Brian has come to those where we want, you know, local assessors to come and review the work that we've done and make sure that, you know, they're providing input. Because, you know, unlike residential properties, these properties don't typically have comparable sales where you can go and look at that. I mean, this is all, you know, pretty academic and pretty, you know, a battle of experts in you know, deciding what that cap rate will be and what the ultimate value will be. And so that's typically, you know, how things play out. But in this case, back in 2020, Idaho Power, you know, they protested their value, not based on any of those particular arguments, but a uniformity argument that we were not looking at a method of discrimination, making sure that other classes of property, you know, weren't being valued at a lesser percentage than their property, right? So if we're going to assess commercial property at 50% of market, you know, which wouldn't pass our, you know, rule 131, you know, are they also, you know, assessed at 50%? Right. And the presumption is that we have them at 100% in market value. And so they were referring to a federal law that was passed in the 1970s. That's we call it the 4R Act, and it was the Railroad Revitalization, and then I can't remember the other R's, but it doesn't matter. But the point was is that that framework passed at the time was intended to make sure that railroad property was not being discriminated against in its assessed value, right? And it set up a framework that said you look at what commercial values are being assessed at with in relation to markets. So that's these annual ratio studies, right? And if those ratio studies show that, you know, commercial property is assessed at a difference of 5% from where, you know, the presumed value, which is 100%, you know, if it's more than 5%, that there needs to be an adjustment in the value of the railroads downward, you know, to be consistent with the way that properties are being assessed at the local level. Yeah. And so that discrimination test, that methodology is different than the way we, for years, you know, used our Rule 131 on a county-by-county basis to look at, you know, is the work that the assessors are doing, is it at market value based on these ratio studies? But we only do it within the limits of the county, you know, based on data that's only for the county. For this railroad methodology, you now ignore county lines and you look at how many counties the railroad operates in and you blend those together as one sample size, and then you do a ratio study and you use the weighted mean, which is different than the median, which is what we use here. And so they argued in 2020 at the district court level that under a uniformity provision they ought to be treated the same way as railroads, and you know, this method of discrimination measurement ought to be applied to them. We argued no, that under a federal concept of preemption or whatever we want to call that, the federal law just applies to federally regulated, and in addition we have this Rule 131 that we already use to see if there's discrimination. And so at the district court level, the state tax commission prevailed, right? They said, yes, you know, federal law should just apply to federal law. And this Rule 131, you know, that's just kind of a, you know, a side issue at this point. We'll set that aside. So then, you know, there was, they appealed it to the Supreme Court to try to overturn the district court ruling. And so that took some time to go through that. And at the Supreme Court decided that no, you know, applying this federal framework to the other properties does not interfere with your duty to be uniform. And so therefore you should do it. And your Rule 131 is different than the methodology that's used, you know, in the 4R Act. And so your Rule 131 just goes away. You need to do it, you know, the same way that you do it here. And so, you know, that was a huge ruling for the state tax commission. So we got that ruling in June of 2023. And so at that point, during the Board of Equalization in August of 2023, we made adjustments to all operating property consistent with that 4R Act methodology. and we reduced the values accordingly. And it was a not insignificant percentage. You know, in general, it was about 20%, you know, reduction in value. And that's a huge generalization, right? So that now it was remanded to the district court to finalize this issue. And so we, at that point, argued that, you know, we looked at a Supreme Court case out of the state of Georgia that went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And that case, you know, involved the railroad. I think it was USX or something like that. But basically, that case said if you're going to make these 4R adjustments to value, the adjustments need to be off of true market value. And true market value is a value that's not constrained by any state statutory framework. And so we argued that, you know, the framework that's been put in place, you know, as a result of the 2014, you know, litigation with PacifiCorp, where you can only put so much weight on the cost approach, and on the income approach, you have to look backwards in average income, you know, to start. You don't start by projecting. So there's some nuance there that we argued, you know, we needed to reestablish the value that we had given for Idaho Power for those years, 2020, 2021, 2022, and not just Idaho Power, but Avista, but all the parties that were rate-regulated utilities, that we had a duty to find true market value and then make an adjustment off of that. And the district court, you know, just recently ruled that in order for them to grant the state tax commission that ability, they would have to find that the state statutes that exist don't allow for the establishment of market value, and they just, that would be unconstitutional and weren't willing to do that. So then the case is ended. And so now we have a judgment. And so what the state tax commission is doing is passing on the changes in value to each and every county. And this affects 43 of the 44 counties in the state. And then once you have a change in value for those years, 2020, 2021, and 2022, then the assessor and the treasurer go in and recompute what the taxes owed were and then what the interest is on that. And so, you know, between the state tax commission, the assessors, and the treasurer, we're working on that. The timeline on that, you know, is state statute gives you the opportunity to either refund or credit. And it gives you up to 2 years to levy, judgment levy, to recapture funds, you know, to do that. It doesn't say you have to do anything by any certain date, but that, you know, that provision is in there. So clearly coming right at the time when 2024 is, people are paying and all that, you know, there's no need to reconcile. I mean, 2024 is set and done. There's no obligation to try to reconcile this in 2024. In terms of whether you issue a refund or a credit, that's for you guys to decide. You know, as we've talked, like in Washington County, we had that conversation on Monday. You know, if they decide on January 15th to issue a credit for 2025, you know, they do the computation of interest up until that date that they make notification. And then now the company knows that they have a credit. The interest doesn't keep going until, you know, December of 2025. And then the local districts have the opportunity to decide if they want to do a judgment levy, and then that would be due in 2025. And you can do it over 2 years if you want to do it too. But there are some options out there. We, the state tax commission, because this is a judgment now, it kind of comes back to the county to decide. You know, Idaho Power has offered a methodology for the computation of interest. If you agree with that, you do. If you, you know, and when those dates start, you know, we're happy to have a conversation. We have reached out to assist in that, but those ultimate decisions are with each and every county. And so, you know, we had a statewide call with the treasurers last Friday. You know, I know there's some frustration. You know, we want to be as helpful as we can, you know, but at the end of the day, there are some counties that see the date of, you know, computation of interest differently than others, and that's fine. You know, it's not, we don't have any authority to say you shall, you know, honor the judgment this way. We've offered to assist in developing spreadsheets on how that would work, and we've offered to, when we're working on a description of this history that I've just described, so that you can hand it to taxing districts, you can hand it to taxpayers, just understand, you know, how this issue came up and why it's taken so long. There is no more liability, right? You don't have to worry about some other entity saying, oh, I want to go back and have that treatment too in 2020 or 2021. That doesn't exist, right? And we made changes to value in 2020, in 2024, that this issue is not being appealed, you know, that we're aware of. We do have one electric utility that's appealing their value based on some other factors, and that still has, I mean, that'll work its way through the district court. That's Rocky Mountain Power. That won't affect Canyon County. And those are some new issues. And I think, you know, every year, I mean, we will do as best we can to say we went through Board of Equalization, and now we have these, you know, issues that have been raised that are going to go to district court, and we'll get that out to the assessor and to the treasurer so that they can communicate that to you, or we can communicate that to you directly, just to know that, you know, there's things that are potentially out there. But at this point, you know, there's no other liability like this. This issue is done. We're, you know, working with, you know, with your office and through the assessor or the treasurer to figure out, you know, how can we help? And, you know, we're giving the values. They're having to go in parcel by parcel and actually cancel the taxes to recompute what the tax should have been, and then, you know, compute the interest on top of that. So I don't want to trivialize the effort that your staff has to go through to reconcile all this. So, but with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stop and stand for any questions on that explanation.
The only golden silver lining on that cloud that you just spoke was that you were going to attempt to do a narrative on what you just spoke in writing. The heck if I'm going to try to explain that to a taxpayer. So that's sounds like quite an arduous journey.
Chairman, so I'm going to swing to the assessor, and he's in this realm and obviously works with the Idaho State Tax Commission. Can you bullet that out in layman's terms for us?
Chairman Holton, Commissioner Umbeek, I'll give it a shot. So when, during the assessment process, during the budget process, we use, we add the locally assessed value and then the central assessed value to come up with the taxable value that divides into the budget to get the levy rate. Mm-hmm. So a portion of that centrally assessed, 2020, it's like 12.5%. is going to come off, and then 2021 it's 16% roughly, and then in 2022 that amount's going to be reduced by a little over 18%, and that's it's already been calculated out, been levied, so we're not going to receive all that revenue to distribute to the taxing districts, so we're giving it back. We have roughly 240 parcels for each year for Idaho Power that I have the easy part. I just back off the value, and then Treasurer Waters has to go in and calculate the tax for that value, and then also the interest for the 4 or 5 years, depending on what year it was. And we're working through that now. We have a fairly confident number. We're on our sixth or seventh spreadsheet now that we're going through and just double checking, and we're hoping to bring you some numbers. It's going to be a little over 700,000, between 700 and 800,000 in tax dollars that will be reduced or redirected for those 3 years, and then they'll be able to do a judgment levy, which means that all the taxing districts will be able to pick it up in the following year. That's a fairly simplified version.
Thank you.
Of what's going to happen?
Reduced levies, and you're returning part of that to the taxing districts. So less less revenue for the county. Is that inaccurate?
We're reducing value.
Okay.
Short all the taxing districts, not just the county.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just add to that. I mean, I guess, and again, I apologize if I got too winded or got into the weeds too much there, but I guess the analogy would be that if that in Canyon County, if you have a large valued property, right, that you put the value on, and they came in and after your Board of Equalization, you upheld the assessor's value, and then they went to district court, you know, the levy rate's set, what everybody pays is set. It works through the court process, and the court finds in their favor, you know, then you have to come back and provide a credit to them and then collect more from others. It's the similar process that you would go through locally if this was a big, you know, property, high-value property in Canyon County. It's awkward in this case in that we're the ones who did the assessment and did the fight.
They're familiar with that.
Did I just make it worse?
We have a few large value properties.
And I just step on a landmine.
A wee bit. We're in the middle of one big one. So, yeah. You're speechless, Commissioner Brown.
No, I'm just. The taxpayer is going to, they're going to notice and then probably not be so happy about. A little less happy about paying their power bill when they notice that everybody's coming back to collect a little more from them when they're already screaming at us about property taxes in general. So should be fun times.
Yeah. And Chairman, here's what I want to say. We have the clerk and the controller. We have the assessor's office and the board. So there's a collaborative effort to, and the chief, I don't want to leave him out, but really to scrutinize the budget and how all the taxpayer dollars are being spent. This was not maybe something we anticipated, but we will deal with it, just like we've dealt with other things that were handed to this board, and we'll do it with service and integrity for the taxpayer.
All right.
I believe we're, Clerk Hogeboom reached out to get a spot on your calendar for tomorrow. So we're hoping to have fairly finalized information tomorrow for that meeting for you.
Okay.
There's still a few questions that we haven't answered ourselves, but we're eliminating a lot of the questions.
Yeah, for the public record, this was an informational meeting. This was not set for an action item, so we're not making a decision today. We're just receiving the bad news. So,
Aaron Bazzoli from the PA's office has been in a couple of the meetings, so he's aware of what's coming.
Okay.
What this is.
All right. Good. It's okay. I just don't know where to cut this off with this bad news. Hopefully another shoe isn't going to drop before we get to the end of the meeting. Well, thanks, State Tax Commission. I could see how that would be so frustrating. And, I mean, I believe that we were doing the best we knew how, and I suppose I could put myself in the position of Idaho Power, but Idaho Power is not a railroad, and a railroad is not Idaho Power. And they're completely different assets. And so could it be so good as a Christmas gift to expect Idaho Power to provide us a rate reduction since their direct overhead operating costs have been reduced? It's just a question that I'll put out into the air. I don't expect an answer. But it all ends up at the taxpayer's door, and that's kind of frustrating when we're doing the best we knew how legally to do it and as fair as we could know how to do it fairly. And now it's a change in direction. So I appreciate the state tax commission to come and explain this. I do anticipate and ask that we get that narrative in writing. That will be most helpful for us. I do believe that as a county goes, we have quite a few of our public that are intellectually involved in this, and this is difficult to grasp, and it's quite a trail of events. So the narrative will be important for us to be able to pass forward and help with the explanation. Any closing words?
Thank you.
Yes.
Chairman, commissioners.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Second. Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.